Okay, our scripture for today is from Mark 4. It's short, so if you guys just want to, I invite you to close your eyes or to just kind of go to a space that you can hear these words and see what images your mind produces when you're listening to them. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Ramon, if you want to come up, I'd like to pray for you. Lord, we pray for your servant Ramon as he's about to share your word with us, and that we would have open hearts and open minds to what you have spoken to him this week and what you're speaking to us now. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Whoa. Last time I looked across the church, it wasn't as full. Now it's like, I think this happens every time school starts, right? I had Aaron pray for the kids. I don't think we'd have as many children come up if I was there doing the prayer. Sometimes kids get a little afraid of me, and I'm actually kind of afraid of kids myself. So we're going to talk about the parable of the growing seed. I was brought up in the city. I don't know anything about farming. Carmen had to explain to me how grain got up in silos. All I ever did was see the silo, and then she had explained to me that there's this corkscrew thing that takes it to the top. And so that shows you how alien I am when it comes to farming. My family, actually my dad, he was the last migrant in our family that picked tomatoes in Reynoldsburg. He was probably about 5 years old. And so that was the last contact we had with farming. I don't know if you remember this, but way back when in the 70s, in the back of comic books, if some of you guys remember that, there was a little ad that you can purchase seeds, and then you could walk door to door and sell those seeds. And pretty much that's what I did. You know, that's as far as I went as far as sowing. And I wasn't very good at selling, so I had a lot of seeds for my mom to plant. But this parable is the one parable that Jesus did not explain. It's also found only in Mark. So sometimes when that happens, you know, we kind of wonder. He didn't just explain it to his disciples, so therefore, in a way, he just didn't explain it to us. But if we do some research and we read the word, we'll see what Jesus has to say about the growing of the seed. Jesus uses parables to teach spiritual matters to us. He takes something that is in this world where man can better relate to, and then he says, this is how the kingdom is. This is how this is. So it's easier for us to understand. So as we look at the seed, as we look at the growing of seed, we can understand how the process is that God grows his kingdom. This is the time of year that I love. I love the harvest season. It was just yesterday that I thought everything was green. And next thing you know, you're driving down the road and you see the corn and the soybean, which I found out what soybean was when I first moved up here. And it's beautiful, you know, why I grew up with tobacco. And but it's the harvest season. There's a crispness in the air. There's a difference. There's a change. So we're going to bring that also into what God's message is for us today. Let's see if I can get this to work. Okay. Billy Graham wrote this for devotional close to the time of his death. "The trouble with our modern thinking is that we have a conception that God is a haphazard God with no set rules of life and salvation. Ask the astronomer if God is a haphazard God. He will tell you that every star moves with precision in its celestial path. Ask the scientists if God is a haphazard God. He will tell you that his formulas and his equations are fixed, and that to ignore the laws of science would be a fool's folly. If the laws in the material realm are so fixed and exact, is it reasonable that God could afford to be haphazard in the spiritual realm, where eternal destinies of souls are at stake? Just as God has equations and rules in the material realm, God has equations and rules in the spiritual. Our God is a God of order. When he created this world, when he created the universe, he had a set pattern of what he was doing. It just didn't happen like man tries to tell us. If there was a big bang, God set that in motion. But things happen in order. God just doesn't allow things to happen willy-nilly. So he has a process. He's a God of order. And he has established a process in his kingdom, whether you see it as the building of a kingdom or the revelation of a kingdom, the revealing of a kingdom. And Jesus is explaining how that works in this parable through sowing, growing, and harvesting. And what's amazing is God, like a loving father, gives us an opportunity to participate in this. You know, we're his creation, and unlike animals, which sometimes people want us to equate us to, God has a special purpose for each one of us. Every one of you, he has a special purpose for. And part of that purpose is for us to be part of the building of his kingdom. So let's look at sowing. This is what the kingdom of God is like, Jesus said. A man scattered seed on the ground. God could reveal this kingdom in an instant. He could usher it into the world without participation of man. He doesn't need us. But like a loving father, like I said, he wants us to participate. He blesses us and he gives us a privilege to be part of that. But sometimes we don't see it that way. Jesus went to explain earlier in the parable of the sower about what the seed is. In Luke 8:11, Jesus explains that the seed represents, the seed is the word of God. Furthermore, in Mark 4's parable of the sower, Jesus says that the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So we are given this seed, which is the word of God, and we're supposed to go out and plant that into the place that God has placed us. Now, I know that today people will tell you that God's word is not relevant, or that sometimes you're going to have to change things up to make it more palatable to the people around you, that they don't want to hear God's word. And there was a time I thought that too. But there was a student, he grew up in Japan, and he came to the United States, and he was Shinto. He studied Shinto. His family was Shinto. And I just felt led to give him some scripture one day. And that was the first time he ever seen the Word of God. And it was amazing for him. Just this past week, a student came to me and shared with me, and she said, hey, Chef, I just want you to know my grandma accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And she has stage 4 cancer, and she's towards the end of her life. And I said, you know, this is strange. I don't think things happen by coincidence. And I said, can I ask you a question? And she said, yeah. I said, did someone share the word of God with her? And she said, well, she went to church when she was a kid. I said, that isn't what I asked. I said, did someone share the word of God with her, like, recently? And she said, my Aunt Millie. My Aunt Millie had a really horrible life, which is her daughter, and came to Christ and started reading the Word. And then she started sharing it with her mother. And over the years, she said the Word started working in her grandmother. The Word of God is powerful. We are tasked to take that to the people around us. You know, God doesn't mince words. You know, I like to keep things simple. You know, my wife thinks I can probably complicate things quite a bit, but I like to keep things simple. So simply put, we are given God's Word, which is His seed, and we're supposed to take that into the world around us. We are supposed to seed, plant, sow that seed and plant it with the people around us. So we're also going to go into growing. That's the next step. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Like the seeds growing underneath the soil, we cannot see the struggle, changing, and effects that God's Word is having on people's lives. Like I told you earlier, I don't know anything about planting. My mom, actually, she did really good. She was she had a green thumb. She's about four. My dad finally told me she's like 4'3". But she would grow things in sand. She could grow, and she'd walk around with her machete. And there's a Filipino squash. It's called opal. And standing next to her, she grew an opal that was like twice her height, you know. And for a Filipino, opal is like gold, you know. So to her, she hit the bank. But I can't really grow things. I can cook them, but I can't grow them. But I had to ask the guys around me and some of my brothers here about, is seed still a, oh, thank you. Is growing seed still a mystery because of science? You know, we splice things, we do these things, GMO and stuff. And some of the guys helped me out, but I talked with Alan. He said it was okay to mention his name. And I said, you know, what do we know about seed? And he goes, we know the conditions. The moisture, the temperature of the soil, the quality of the soil. But when it comes down to it, the seed grows on its own. We cannot truly force that seed to grow. I also looked into some scientific studies, and some scientists at Brown University said, seeds have little brains in them. Not like our brains, but a kind of a brain that under certain conditions, that brain tells them it's time to sprout. But God created that. When it comes down to it, God is the one that says you are going to grow. And that happens all underneath the ground. So I want to share something with you about what Paul had to say. In 1 Corinthians 3:6-9, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. The same is with spiritual growth. We can help like Paul and Apollos, but it is through the Word and Holy Spirit that God does the growing. He is ultimately in control and the one that brings about the growth. I have heard stories that some of you have shared, and I hear people share that I am praying for this loved one. I am praying for a friend that they will accept the Holy Spirit. They will accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Things will change in their life. They're dealing with this addiction. And it's hard. Believe me, it's hard. I've dealt with vices. I've tried to push the gospel on a younger brother of mine who fought it tooth and nail. And it takes time for us to realize we can't push things. In our culture, sometimes it's about the independent thought of, we do what it needs to happen for things to happen. And if it's not happening, we're making a mistake. In this area, we can only do so much. We can help with conditions. You know, we can provide love to the people, and we can care for the people, and we can show Christ's love to the people, and that's what God's asking us to do. But in the end, God is doing the work. Because if he's not doing the work, one, it's not going to be eternal, right? And two, we're going to have something to boast about. And the only thing we should boast is what God is doing. And it's hard. It is so hard for us to be able to step back and just say, scatter the field and still continue down the road. But it's also freeing. Sometimes I also hear Christians say, what else do I have to do? Am I not praying hard enough? Do I not have enough faith? Should I give more? Should I do this? Where am I dropping the ball? Because I don't see this result. When I finally accepted the fact that, you know what, ultimately this is God's process, and I'm just a participant that he blesses me with, this privilege to be part of this process, it's freeing. Because that's lifted off my shoulders. Not the hurt and the pain, but the knowledge to know and the trust and to have faith that God is working in that person's life, that word is working. And if you need a reminder and you are a Christian, please look back to a time when you were different. And then look at yourself now and say, where has God's work changed me? Where has God's word changed me? Because you could scatter the seed, you could water and walk away, and that change could happen 7 years down the road. And you may not even see that person. I saw a gentleman this morning when I went to have breakfast. I used to work with him. I'm not going to name his name. He'd be totally embarrassed if I did, and I didn't ask for permission. But I remember him at work, and he was a bear of a man. People did not like coming to him, and they had to. They had to, because he worked in an important part of the factory. And the thing is, over time, people shared the word with him, spoke to him, loved on him, Christians that were put into his life. I moved away, and when I came back, the man I saw was not the same man that I left. He was totally different. And it might not happen with us here, because we see each other at least once a week. But I can be for certain that if you yourself look at who you used to be, you could probably see how God's word has changed you, how God has changed it in your life. This might be one of the fastest sermons I've ever done here. So that's probably an answer to prayer for some of you. All right, so lastly, we have harvesting. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. It seems like yesterday, like I said, everything was green, and now people are harvesting. You know, it's beautiful. I love the colors. I love the color changes. You can look at the trees and see that things are changing. One can see the fruits of the sowing and growing are ready to be reaped. We too are to look for God's kingdom growth. Jesus is our example for looking around us to see the harvest. In Matthew 9:35-38, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We see that as Jesus is moving along and doing kingdom work and planting seed and sharing the word of God and healing people and comforting them, he's looking. He's looking for a harvest, and he sees it. Sometimes I think as Christians we drop the ball. Sometimes we'll plant seed. I don't know about you. I had the scattered seed one time when I was working at the transportation, Department of Transportation for Logan County. And that's hot work, you know, but I just put it in a little thing and just spin like this. But harvesting, that's with a sickle, that seems like really hard work. You know, but here's the thing. What farmer plants seed, tends to it, watches the field grow, and then walks away from the harvest? It makes no sense, especially to you guys that have grown up in an agricultural with some agricultural background. You don't do all that work and then just let it sit in the field to rot, to let the birds out of it, the coons and other people and everything else, and just ravage the whole place. There's a reason why you planted those crops in the first place. And here's the weird thing. Jesus is saying he went from shepherding, which is herding and stuff, to harvesting. And that's a flip. You know, I thought he was still going to go with the shepherd. Send him a shepherd. But he's saying send people, harvesters into the fields to harvest the stuff. And he cried about it. We're the harvesters too. Sometimes we don't look for what's going to happen. One of the chefs shared with me that she was driving down the road and she looked over by the side of the road and there was a crack in the cement near this field, and there was a grain of corn stalk coming out of the crack in the cement in the road. I'm like, that's crazy, you know? But she was looking. I don't think she was looking for that. But sometimes that's what happens in our lives. Sometimes what's going to happen is those seeds that were scattered, that was watered, that God grew, that harvest is going to be in front of you. And what could that harvest look like? It could be someone walking up to you and saying, you know what? I heard you're a Christian. There's some really horrible things that have been happening in my life. Can I talk to you? Can I pray with you? I mean, can you pray with me? Maybe it's something like, hey, I need Christ in my life. Can you help me with this? It could even be one of these scary things. I got a question about the Bible. Well, that's okay. Harvest it. Find out somebody who can help you with that answer if you don't have the answer. But it's our responsibility, our task to go and harvest and bring that in. And here's another thing. It happens here in the church. Because as God's word goes out, it does not come back void. You know, whether it's Pastor Alex, Dick, a visiting pastor, or somebody in your class, as they share the word of God, it's getting into us and it's changing us. And you may end up having somebody step up and say, you know what? I think I'm gifted with this spiritual gift. I would like to see more about it. I'd like to teach more. I want to do this. So we don't know what that harvest is going to look like. Ultimately, sometimes we look at and picture it as always being something of people coming to Christ. But that harvest can be so many different things. And the glory goes to God, and the resources are used for his kingdom building, and it's a cycle that continues to go round and round. But we can't drop the ball any longer. We can't drop the ball any longer. That's part of the process. So we are to look for the harvest as we go about our day and reap it for God's glory and our benefit. So to sum it all up, and I'm not Jesus. If I was to put it into words, the answer to this parable, the lesson that we're supposed to learn, it was put on my heart to write this. We are each given the word of God to plant in the places God has placed us to sow. Sometimes we can aid with providing helpful conditions to foster spiritual growth and change. But ultimately, it is God that does the transformation in a person that is willing. Lastly, the church is also to look for the harvest and go out and reap the fruits of His word, giving God all the glory and investing these new resources back into His kingdom. It is an ongoing cycle that we are blessed to be part of until Jesus returns. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your wisdom and for your coming here and just teaching us and telling us stories that we can relate to the spiritual things that are happening in this world around us. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us, the church you've given us, your beautiful people. Please just prod us and lead us along the path so that we can continue to be privileged and blessed in helping and building your kingdom and sharing the love of Christ and your word with others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.